Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Lots to talk about today. I'm going to share some audio from last night's college football championship game where the president and the first lady made an appearance prior to the game, and a lot of other stuff. Frank Turek, Sandy Rios. So if you don't like what we have to say, hopefully you'll like what Frank and Sandy had to say. Walker Wildman is here. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
Fred Jackson.
Always good to be here.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard. Hey, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. How's Kansas City, Kansas today, weather-wise?
Well, it's kind of cloudy. We had some fog, but I think it's going to be okay. I got a question for you. Is there such a thing as a football hangover? Because if there is, I think I got one this morning, you know.
From the Chiefs on Sunday?
Yeah, from the Chiefs on Sunday and the big game last night. My head was spinning when I went to bed. I woke up this morning about half. If you can have a, football hangover. I think I got one. But boy, what a game!
By the way, the Chiefs just scored again. I don't know if you knew that.
The game is still going. We're just rolling it up.
That's coming across the wire here that the Chiefs just scored again. Wow! Yeah, it was if you like offense, man. The last couple of days has been you enjoyed that. Well, we are going to play right now what happened in the Superdome last night. We're not going to play the game. Everybody who cared about the game watched the game. And congratulations, by the way, to the LSU Tigers football team.
Yeah.
And their star quarterback.
Oh, man.
For winning the national championship. Did you watch? Well, you did. You said you got to, that was just an amazing performance by their team last night.
Clemson is a truly great team.
Yes, they are.
And LSU just took care of them in the second half. I mean, they pulled away, and there was nothing Clemson could do about it. That Joe Burrow, I don't know if I've ever seen a better college quarterback than him.
He's
some kind of amazing.
No, I don't remember a year like he had. And, of course, he transferred from Ohio State. He's an Ohio native.
Right.
And then went down to LSU.
And he couldn't break into the starting lineup in Columbus.
I know. But, what a story. And undefeated season. And probably the greatest offense in the history of college football for one season. Just amazing. And now, before the game last night in the Superdome, Fred set this up for us.
Yeah, what happened last night is that the president and first lady went to New Orleans to see the game. And, you know, when I heard he was going to New Orleans, I said, oh, boy, I mean, what kind of reception is he going to get there? And then I thought, wait a minute now. The fans in there are Louisiana folks.
And South Carolina.
And South Carolina folks.
Right.
And I tell you what, I was not disappointed when I saw the reaction that he received last night. When the president and the first lady walked onto the field, this is how it sounded.
I don't know. I think the Dome seats 75,000 to 80,000 people. The Superdome,
Right?
And the crowds. You're right. He was in friendly territory.
Yeah,
these were mostly Southerners.
Yeah, and what you heard was four more years.
Yeah,
four more years, and then USA.
Yeah,
you know what they did? Weren't hollering impeach.
No, he's been to a couple of events where he got booed. One was a Washington Nationals baseball game, and then he was at some fighting event in New York, a small arena, I think. But yeah, that had to be encouraging to the president and the first lady to experience that last night.
Absolutely.
But he was in friendly territory, the president. you know, is very popular in the South. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did you see that when that was happening, Ray?
Yeah, I did, and it was overwhelming. I mean, if there were any boos, and maybe there were in a crowd that size, they were completely drowned out and overwhelmed by the reception the president got. Mm-hmm. And I think that does send a message to the nation that in the heartland, in the out where people actually live.
Flyover country.
Yeah, flyover country. The president and his message, people appreciate him and what he has done.
When I heard that the president was going to be there, but then when I was watching it on TV, I didn't hear the volume because we were at a restaurant. But then he came out there with the First Lady, and that was a very patriotic moment because they unfurled the flag, and here you have the Commander-in-Chief on the field. Walker, were you surprised that the president walked out in such an open area like that?
Well, he's done it before. It's risky.
He did that at the SEC. Was it the SEC championship game?
Yeah, and he's done that at the Army-Navy game before. So,
oh, he did do that, didn't he? And that was outside.
It's a nightmare for the head of security, but at the same time, they screen everyone who comes into the stadium pretty heavily.
Secret Service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've probably been there for a few weeks planning.
I bet the Secret Service, you know, when they're sitting in the lounge or have their staff meeting, maybe the lounge is the right. They probably don't have a lounge for the Secret Service, but they're getting they're in the meeting and they're going, all right, the president's going to this meeting and that meeting, and we're going to have to do this in London and yada, yada, yada. And then they say, oh, by the way, and then we're going to the Superdome.
Right.
Yeah. Huh? No, please. Because the reason I say that is the Superdome, you have to screen 75,000, 80,000 people or more, who knows,
yes,
to make sure.
All the workers.
All right, the workers.
Every piece of equipment that comes in
right
has to be screened.
Maybe they got some way to expedite that, but that's just, anyway. So the president, I've been surprised in the few events that he's walked out in the open. But anyway, great game last night. Congratulations to LSU again. And Clemson Tigers had a great season as well. Of course, they won a couple national championships themselves the last 4 years. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now is Dr. Frank Turek. Frank joins us from Charlotte area. He's the president and founder of CrossExamined.com. How you doing, Frank?
I am doing wonderful, guys. How are you? Despite the fact that I haven't seen the sun in like 5 days.
I know. Where did it go? What happened?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe it's global, climate change.
It is warm, but it's cloudy.
I'm enjoying I don't like cold weather at all. In fact, people say global warming to me. I say, when can I have it?
Bring it on.
Really? Right. Don't get me excited like that. Okay. Hey, Frank, you seeing what's out there? Vince Vaughn, the actor.
Yeah.
Last night went up to the president and the first lady and spoke to them and exchanged pleasantries. And he got caught on video, and now the liberal Twitter verse is going crazy. See that?
Yeah, it amazes me. These people who are for inclusion, tolerance, and diversity apparently don't want anybody to be included if they talk to the president of the United States or even in the same room with the guy. It's just beyond odd and beyond contradictory to what they say they stand for. They don't tolerate. They don't include. They're not diverse. You see it our way, or we will come after you.
I got to give it up for Vince Vaughn, again, the actor. I know he's Wedding Crashers. That's his famous movie, and we're not advocating any movies at all or dissing any movies. I'm just saying that's what he's best known for. But he is a A-lister in Hollywood. I mean, he's in big films. And for him, Walker, to walk up to the president, he knows the cameras are on, so I guess he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think he knew the risk, the quote risk from the backlash from the left. he knew that going into it. You know, you're on national television shaking the hand of the president. But he probably didn't really care. And it's really a shame that you can't even shake the hand of the president.
No, they want you canceled.
Yeah, it's the cancel culture.
The cancel culture. The left wants his life to be over now because he shook the hand of the president and said something.
Yeah, what the left would like is for the president to try to reach out and shake Vaughn's hand, and then he turn around, Vince Vaughn turn around and walk away.
Well, Vince
that would please the left.
Ray, Vince Vaughn went up to the president.
Right, and he was doing what any American citizen would do.
Right.
He had access to the president. He went up and talked to him. And there's no... I don't think we know what they talked about, right? It looked like a casual conversation to me. Hard to understand how people on the left could criticize Vince Vaughn for chatting with the president about who knows what.
It's Frank, wouldn't crazy. I would say if you're on the left, wouldn't you want somebody, if you believe that they're one of you, like Vince Vaughn, although Vince Vaughn's more of a libertarian, as I understand it, than he is a lefty, but wouldn't you want to be able to have the ear of the president of the United States? I mean, he's still going to be the president, whether Vince Vaughn speaks to him or not. They liken this to somebody speaking to Hitler, I guess.
Tim, your mistake is that you're using logic right now.
Okay. I know. Good night. I've been accused of that before. Okay.
So I hate to tell you that there are some people that refuse to use logic and good reason. So that's your mistake, Tim.
All right. Hey, let's talk.
Nice try.
I know. Let's talk about Iran for a moment.
Yes.
I've been following these the protest there, and by protest I mean the Iranians who are in the streets or on the university campuses, and they are protesting the mullahs. That's the religious leaders over there. You know, totalitarian, strong arm, murderous control of their country. What do you make of what's going on over there?
You know, I had the opportunity in 2006 to actually go to Iran. We were on a Noah's Ark expedition. Long story, but the Bible does not say that Noah's Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. It says the mountains of Ararat, which could include some mountains in what is present-day Iran. And so we flew to Tehran in 2006, me and about 15 other guys, and we were in Tehran for a few days, and we went up northwest of Tehran and went into the mountains there. And I loved the Iranian people. They were very hospitable. They seemed to love Americans, you know. In fact, it's amazing. We were out in the street in Iran one day on like a circle in Tehran, and a car pulls up. And a guy jumps out of the car, and he goes, "I want to go to the University of Massachusetts." It was like I was the president of the University of Massachusetts, and I could get him in, you know. And I felt for the guy. He's just trying to figure out a way how he could get to America, and he thought maybe we had the key to get there. So these people were eager to somehow grab a piece of America somehow, the people mm-hmm. that we ran into anyway. And so I think it's generally true that when people say that it's the leaders of Iran that are our enemies from a political perspective, generally the people don't seem to be. And there's a column right now on Fox News about this, that Iran, the title of it is Iran Protests Soleimani Killing to the Point to this Next for the Country. This is kind of a trying clickbait, and basically the guy is trying to say that there's a real movement in Iran now to try and get rid of their theocracy, to get rid of these leaders.
I find it interesting, Frank, that yesterday the leadership finally admitted it was them that shot down that Ukrainian plane. Now they used the word accidental yesterday, but then this morning I get up and the Iranians are saying, we're going to charge some people. So if it's accidental, then you move within 24 hours, we're going to charge some people. And here's what I thought. These protests that we've seen in the last two or three days are very significant and very pro-American. And we've heard testimony from people who lived in Iran who now live in America saying Soleimani's death is being celebrated. We were told they're mm-hmm. baking cakes and giving away cookies in celebration of Soleimani's death.
Right.
But I think this morning the leadership is admitting by saying now we're going to charge people who were involved with the shooting down of this plane. This is an appeasement to this crowd because the leadership knows these are significant protests and just maybe their leadership is in jeopardy.
I hope it is. I don't know what the next step is. I mean,
yeah.
What happens? At some point, someone in the army has to defect and say, well, we're not going to support what the leaders want to do. I don't know who that would be or if a group of them would. And then who knows what's going to happen after that? Who would get into power after that? I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe Ray has been following this. Or Ray,
well,
what do you think?
You stop and think about all this, Frank. I think the fact that the thing that strikes me the most is that President Trump, during all of this, it seems to me like he's, quote, played his cards very well. This thing has worked out. Mm-hmm. I don't think it could have worked out any better than what the president did. But it was very interesting to me that he tweeted out Farsi from his huge Twitter yeah. account, calling on the government of Iran not to shoot the protesters but to let them speak. I'm trying to think of another time in recent history when an American president has had the courage to do that. And I think, Frank, that probably has had an effect, at least to hold back on harsh reprisals that might otherwise have come from the government.
Yeah, I hope so, because back in November, according to this column I'm reading right now, and it's been reported widely elsewhere, that the Iranian government actually killed 1,500 of these protesters, just yes. shot them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
And these are the people, ironically, that some on the left in this country are trying to, at least they're not supporting the president. They almost seem to be supporting the leaders in Iran.
Yeah.
And you're going, come on, you can't hate the president that much that you're going to start hinting that the people, the leaders of Iran are better than the president of the United States. I mean, it's just...
Well, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, on Sunday, one of the shows...
Stephanopoulos.
To show you how much the left despises the president to the point where they don't want to anything from Iran to be credited to his leadership... Mm-hmm. We have the audio.
Cut number 10.
This is Nancy Pelosi. She was asked about the protest in Iran by the people and the students there, and this is what she had to say.
So we're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
was... They're calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khomeini as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this. There were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us.
Against us?
Yeah. Did you hear her? Against us.
What you know, talking about?
This is where she was trying to spin, that these protesters who are out there against the Iranian mullahs, she tried to spin that into an anti-U.S. group.
Well, she's given moral equivalency to those who were... Mm-hmm. supporting the Iranian regime when they were out in the street about when the Soleimani
mm-hmm.
was brought home, and you know he was lauded, the people who were paid to come out in the streets and celebrate this murderous fella who terrorized their own country, the Iranians. The Iranians are happy this guy's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but so she's making Nancy Pelosi. Is making the moral equivalency between those people who are protesting the U.S. and she says, basically saying they're legitimate, that their protest of us are legitimate, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what that's what
well,
I?
Well, yeah, she what she was avoiding there. She was clearly avoiding Nancy Pelosi. She was clearly avoiding encouraging the freedom protesters,
right?
The freedom right. protests that were taking place this past weekend against the regime.
She's saying they weren't freedom protests, really.
She was saying that, and she was kind of trying to change the subject instead of saying that they have a good cause and the regime needs to listen to the people and protect the protesters. But this just shows that the Democrats are willing to ignore fundamental basic things like supporting the Iranian people. If it means that it's gonna appear that you're with Trump.
Yeah.
Well, and their friends in the major media, the same thing. I doubt that clip you played earlier of Trump in the Superdome there is going to be played anywhere on CNN or MSNBC. But our friends over there at the Media Research Center, Brent Bozell, who heads that thing up, he's headed it up for probably 35 years now. He and his team track what all the major media say every night on the national news, ABC, CBS, NBC, those types of groups, what the New York Times says, the Washington Post says. And the recent headline, just, I think came out yesterday, the day before, says 93% of the coverage of President Trump is negative. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that no president in our history deserves 93% negative coverage. Mm. Satan would get better coverage, okay? I mean, it's so obviously left in our country when it comes to the media. And by the way, whose fault is that? It's the Christians' fault, because 100 years ago, we got out of society and we said all of these jobs like journalism and media and politics and law and all these things aren't jobs Christians should be in.
Hold on just a minute. What's my fault?
It's our fault from 100 years ago. Reparations.
My great-great-granddaddy's fault?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got out of society. They went and circled the wagons rather than engaging society. And you wonder why society goes godless when all the godly people get out of it.
Frank, you're talking about key positions in society, like in the
society.
Media, where you can have an influential voice
right.
to the general public.
Right. And we got out of that 100 years ago with the fundamentalist movement. We said that things like law and media and politics, you shouldn't get in. Those are dirty. You just got to be a pastor, a missionary, somebody like that. I'm not against pastors and missionaries. Don't get me wrong. But we misunderstood what our calling was. Our calling is to be salt and light to the entire culture, not just... Right. In the spiritual realm, everything should be influenced by Jesus, not just pastors and missionaries. Everybody ought to be a disciple in what they do, regardless of what that is.
Okay, what do we got coming up on Saturday?
We got a lot of answers to questions people have been emailing me. And by the way, the last program we just did, we did a couple of programs. One was a program that the title of Why Trump is Not the Elephant in the Room. I was responding to some people who had written me regarding the previous program I did called Why Evangelicals Voted for Trump. So there's some people were saying nobody should ever vote for Trump or be before Trump. So I responded to some of that. And then this past one was... Did Jesus really claim to be God? And if he did, why didn't he just come out and say it clearly? Like, I am God, worship me. So we dealt with that in the last podcast or in radio program. This Saturday, we're going to be dealing with a number of questions people have emailed in.
All right. That's Saturday at 9 o'clock Central Time.
Yes, sir.
Here on American Family Radio. Join Frank and his show Cross Examined. That's this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock Central Time in the morning. Thank you, Frank. God bless you, brother.
Great being with you guys again.
Okay. We would play 70,000 people cheering for Frank right now. If there was an occasion that happened, we would be playing that.
My mom can sound like 70,000 if you give her enough time.
All right. We will be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
When you consider the creator of heaven and earth, the one who is omnipotent, the one who knows all and is everywhere at once, took on the form of human flesh, the only appropriate response you could have is, Lord, thank you.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Well, 2020 is here, and I hope you're having a wonderful first of the new year. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, coming up in June and September, we have our annual Spiritual Heritage Tours, and they are filling up fast. We're probably going to be full for June by March. We'll probably be full for September by June. So if you want to go with us on this very special tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and also a separate tour of Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and join us along with historian Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, you just need to order a brochure from us or go online. Just go online to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. For a free brochure, call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. You might have noticed that my column no longer shows up on your Facebook newsfeed, and now we know why. Facebook has accused me of posting fake news. They did not like a column I wrote blaming the Australia bushfires on arsonists and not climate change. Facebook uses outside organizations like PolitiFact and Hoax Alert as fact-checkers, but these groups are notorious for targeting conservative writers, censoring any content they disagree with. Never in a million years did I ever imagine they would target me. So, where do we go from here? Well, our only alternative to Facebook is my weekly newsletter. It's a free service, we don't charge a penny, and it's the only way to guarantee you get news about politics and the culture uncensored. You can subscribe right now at toddstarnes.com. Facebook has a right to disagree with our opinions, but they don't have a right to censor our opinions. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, if you'd like to join us online, go to Facebook or YouTube. We're live video streaming there, Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. We are also posting the stories that we talk about, so you'll have them for yourself. Walker, what do you got there?
Yeah, this week you'll hear, or you've heard yesterday and today on American Family Radio, our preborn campaign. The preborn campaign, for those who aren't familiar, is a one-week effort that we undertake each January to raise money for the ministry called Preborn, in order to provide ultrasounds to women who are pregnant all across the country. And so that's what we're doing this week. To date, Preborn Ministry, their centers have counseled over 340,000 women who were pregnant, and some of them considering abortion. 73,000 babies have been saved. That means 73,000 mothers chose life when they saw their baby using the preborn ultrasound machines. So that being said, if you would like to sponsor a, you can for $28 you can sponsor one woman seeking an abortion with a free ultrasound, and of course $140 would provide five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. So basically, 100% of your money goes to the ultrasound machines to underwrite ultrasounds for women who can't afford it. Here's the number to call, and then, of course, I'll give out our website.
Do they need to say that they heard it on AFR?
No. The call center is an AFR call center, so every call that comes in there came from our radio network. The number to call in to donate to Preborn is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Call in and you can donate to Preborn. Also, you can visit our website, afr.net. afr.net.
Well, Senator Cory Booker has withdrawn.
Yeah.
Yesterday, from the Democrat race for.
what was he polling? Was he polling anything at all?
Let's see.
Oh, he was single digit all the way. You remember?
Oh, 2%. I think
he got the nickname Spartacus.
Right.
He gave himself that nickname.
He named it yesterday. They modified that after he announced he was leaving. He's now known as Dispartacus.
Oh, man.
This Cory Booker. Fred Jackson will be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
That's what they were called.
Cory Booker's out of the race.
Yeah.
I tell you what, like, you guys, I don't know if you were in here yesterday when I was talking to Fred. Well, no, Walker, you and Ray weren't. Mm-hmm. Talking to Fred and to Ed. My heart is troubled. I know that Sean Hannity says, "Let not it be," and he quotes the Bible there. Mm-hmm. Meaning, but my heart is troubled because we are left now. I hope I can get this out. We're left now with five white people.
Uh-oh.
On the Democrat side, four and a Native American.
And I didn't know that about Bernie. Well,
you wouldn't know it by looking at him. But
that's exactly right.
But nary a person of color left on the Democrat side, and I want to know what they're going to do about it. Huh? This is clearly discriminatory. Huh?
Think that'll come up in the big debate.
The system that's been set up is clearly discriminatory, and I just want to know what Bernie Sanders and the four others are going to do about that. Joe Biden, bless his heart, he'll be lucky to remember where he is. So I don't expect him to say much about that, or maybe he'll say, "Hey, I was once a person of color." Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And even if I'm not, I'm going to identify.
I'm going to identify
right.
as one.
Very contemporary.
Anyway, when is their debate?
Tonight.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Where is it? Iowa?
It's in Des Moines.
And Drake University. Yeah.
The president will not be watching because he's going to be at a big rally in Milwaukee.
Oh, is he? is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll have more people than they have at... Yeah,
watch it. It's a CNN sponsored debate at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. Now that's how much they value this debate for their audience.
Mm. And again, when is the Iowa caucuses?
It is less than 3 weeks away.
Listen to this AP story. This is a AP story on the debate tonight. A couple paragraphs in. This is not a quote. This is the journalist or whoever wrote the story. The debate, talking about the debate tonight, which is being held on the Des Moines campus of Drake University, will be televised on CNN. It marks the first forum with an all-white lineup.
All-white lineup.
Yeah. They're going to struggle to get over 900 viewers probably. Tonight, huh? At least, I don't know. Maybe people tune in for the comic value, whatever that may be, or to hear Elizabeth Warren tell Bernie Sanders, "I am woman, hear me roar."
That's right. That's going to be the headline. That's the headline tonight.
Yes, you did, Bernie. No, I didn't, Elizabeth. Yes, you did, Bernie. No, I didn't. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Elizabeth Warren accused Bernie Sanders of saying to her that three or four years ago that a woman could not be elected president in the United States, and his campaign is saying she's a liar, huh?
The deep
I don't know where I don't know where they get that from with Elizabeth Warren that she might be a liar, but anyway, Sandy Rios joins us from out there somewhere in radio land. How you doing, Sandy?
I'm good. I'm hanging on to that little thread that's got me attached to the mothership.
Yes.
You know how the astronauts used to be?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Don't let the thread
I'm
break.
I'm out there.
Yeah. Right. Sandy serves as our Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, so she does a lot of work for us in our nation's capital, and she's also heard each morning on Sandy Rios in the morning here on American Family Radio. What do you make, Sandy, of this this lineup that we have left for the Democrats? Biden, Sanders, Warren, and who are the last two?
Buttigieg and Klobuchar.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg?
Yep.
And the senator from Wisconsin, is she from Minnesota? Wisconsin. Klobuchar. Where's she from?
Good question.
Up north.
Anyway, what do you make of this lineup that got left, Sandy?
Well, you know, from our perspective, it is funny. There's a lot to laugh about because we're coming at it from common sense. I mean, there's this comedy here. We have Sanders, who is a communist. We have Elizabeth Warren, who wouldn't know the truth if she... They talk about President Trump lying, and yet certainly Elizabeth Warren is a chronic, consummate, habitual liar. It's just shocking that she's even in this position at all. Then we have Pete Buttigieg, who's one of the most convincing, but actually when you get into what he says, it makes no sense. He delivers it in
but
such
he's gay.
Convincing.
But he is gay.
I know, and he has a partner, and they're right. Christians. And right. If you just listen on surface, which is the way most people listen, gosh, he sounds like such a nice guy. But when you actually get into what he's talking about immigration, about, you know, doing away with borders, about, you know, all kinds of ridiculous things, and also just the notion that you can be married to a man as a man and be a professing Christian is on its face ridiculous. So there's a lot to laugh about. But the problem is we have no assurance that the American people, half of whom are hearing, more than half, this nonsense pumped out and lies and propaganda by the press will see that. They see it in sound bites. They see it in appearances. People are being packaged, so they don't see the full story, because we see the full story because we are in the news all the time, because we believe in truth. But so many people don't, and that's what's kind of scary about this. So it's funny. These five people are pretty funny, but they're also pretty scary. So
definitely their ideas are, but I think they're so out of touch with mainstream America. These ideas that they promote, these lefties in the Democrat Party now that are left on the, that they can't, they're unelectable. With the possible exception of Joe Biden, I mean, a lot of people have said Joe Biden, as former vice president for 8 years, if you just remove all the weekly gaffes that he makes, and they're substantial because they represent something going on in his brain, that he is a formidable candidate. Because of his name recognition and his attachment, I think, to the Obama administration. But ironically, President Obama won't endorse Joe Biden.
Nope.
I don't know. What does that tell you? Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But the debate is, for those who want to tune in now, Fred, you're telling me I can call Allison at home and tell her to get the remote and scroll over to when, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock
on
Eastern,
C-SPAN,
8 o'clock.
Or what did you say?
CNN.
And hit the record button, so we don't miss it.
Want to get up early tomorrow morning to watch.
Okay, well, or tonight after I get home from dinner or something like that.
I tell you what.
Okay, you wanted to ask Sandy. It's also some very interesting questions about impeachment, Fred.
Go ahead.
Fire away.
Apparently, we
and
learned.
Then Ray's, you know, joining us to co-host. Yep. He might want to ask a question too.
We learned this morning that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats plan a vote tomorrow on sending the articles of impeachment over to the Senate.
They have to vote to do that? I thought they'd already done that.
No, they got to vote. Well, what Nancy's been saying, they're kind of negotiating. They're trying to figure out who their representatives are going to be to represent their side when it goes to the Senate.
The House managers, you mean,
the
right,
House
Fred?
Managers, yeah, that's what they're looking for. Now, I there's a couple of developments here. There's three or four Republican senators, Susan Collins. There is Collins. There's Lamar Alexander, which I'm really surprised about this. Mitt Romney, who say they're in favor of what Nancy wants with regards to more witnesses. So that's one story there. White House spokesman Hogan Gidley was asked about this on Fox and Friends this morning, and I found his response rather interesting. It's cut number three.
Let's be clear. The president is not afraid of a fight. And if you or anyone within the sound of our voices had been falsely accused of a crime with no proof and no evidence for more than 3 years, you'd want every witness to come forward, too, and say this man did nothing wrong. We are not afraid of a fight. We are prepared. And whether this thing goes to a full trial, whether it's modified or whether it's just dismissed out of hand for the sham, illegitimate scam it has become, we will be ready.
All right, couple of things, Sandy. What do you think of these three or four Republicans now, Republican senators, who have said they will not support, apparently, what Mitch McConnell originally wanted, what Lindsey Graham wanted, and that's basically we don't need any more witnesses because the Democrats told us they had an ironclad case. Why do we need more witnesses?
Well, okay, so you say Lamar Alexander, Mitt Romney, and Lisa Murkowski?
Murkowski and Susan Collins.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not surprised if that's what you're. I'm not surprised. I've been to pat myself. I sound like Rush Limbaugh. All right, let's play the recording on. But I've been saying for a long time that I feel like the president is in danger if it goes to the Senate. I think it shouldn't. I think they should have just dismissed it, but they didn't have 51 votes to dismiss it, and so I'm not surprised. Look. The thing that's surprising to me, to be honest with you, Fred, is that Mitch McConnell has given such verbal support. I've never seen him so impassioned. I actually think the reason that he's gotten his backup on this, and I'm grateful he has. Could I just say? I'm very grateful he has. But I really think it's more about pride and ego, like Nancy Pelosi trying to tell him what to do in his Senate. I think that's been as motivating for him as anything, but I'll take it. The thing of it is it's not a surprise that at least for the last almost 2 years, or 2 years now, the Senate, the Republican senators have not supported this president. They've done so many things to undermine him, to mock him, to not help him, to just remain silent when the groups are coming after the president and making his life miserable and unbearable. You don't see them coming out with statements of support. You just don't see that. So I am not surprised that however many there are here who have publicly stated now, that they want witnesses. That doesn't surprise me. To be honest with you, I'm surprised more have not said that. And we might have more that are going to say that. So I just think we have to fasten our seatbelts. If they're going to call witnesses, you know the president's going to fight for Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and all the inconvenient people that the Democratic senators surely do not want to testify. That would be very bad for them. So, but the devil's in the details. And if it goes to a trial, it's certainly true that we saw what the left did in the Supreme Court justice hearing for Justice Kavanaugh. And there's no guarantee that they won't get as crazy in the Senate and twist the rules and ignore the rules and turn it into a circus in order to hurt the president. So once it goes there, he's kind of out of control, really. And John Roberts is not a friend. So I think it's kind of risky. That's what I think.
Sandy, let me change the subject just for a moment here. There's been a lot of discussion about Facebook and the political ads heading into 2020, and a lot of people on the left, a lot of people want Facebook to censor the political ads, obviously meaning they want conservatives to be completely squashed on that platform, which is huge. But Facebook says they're not going to censor political ads. Number one, are you surprised by that? Number two, is that going to make a difference as we come down the home stretch toward November?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is great news. I'm glad you asked me about this, Ray. Some of us have been working, you know, AFA is part of this Free Speech Coalition, and we've been meeting with Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And I am astonished, to be honest with you. I never thought Mark Zuckerberg would ever move to the position of open and free speech. That's just not the mood in Silicon Valley in California. So Facebook, Twitter has great, has tremendous reach, but it does different things. Facebook really, I think, still is the big dog when it comes to getting your message out, local candidates, in speaking in political terms, getting the issues out, local candidates, being able to reach the people around you. I mean, what local candidate or statewide candidate has the money to buy ads for network television that airs in their area? You know, see what a barrier it is. And many of people live in the middle part of the rural areas of the country, not near Chicago and New York. So how do they get their message out? And it's been through Facebook ads. And Facebook did shut them down, I believe, in 2018. I wish I could be specific, but I know that ads were taken down. They made it almost impossible. And that really did hurt conservative candidates. So this is really a very big deal. It's a very big deal. Facebook is kind of standing alone in a sea of social media company opponents of free speech. So I think this is a big deal. I'm thrilled. Actually, yeah. I am.
Yes, yes. We want to applaud Mark Zuckerberg on this decision. Hey, listen, Sandy, thanks so much for being on with us. And you have a wonderful rest of the day wherever you are.
You're dangling. I'm out here hanging onto the car.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Sandy Rios. Ray, what do you think about your own question there about Facebook?
Well, I'm totally surprised because Facebook has been – they've been leaning towards censorship. They have been muting conservative voices. And we've seen it on Twitter, which is, I know it's a completely different company, but but we see it on social media that – if you are a conservative and speak out, suddenly you lose followers. You can't get your voice heard. You make a Facebook update, 90% of your people can't see it. Then, you know, behind the scenes, there have been people, who knows who they are, manipulating the algorithms. So kudos to Mark Zuckerberg for going against the flow and saying this year in 2020, they aren't going to censor Facebook ads. That's huge. And as Sandy said, really big for people who don't live near the mega media centers. It's going to give conservatives, not just at the presidential level, but say congressional candidates and local conservatives, it's going to give us all a chance to get our message out. I hope, by the way, last word, I hope Mark Zuckerberg sticks with this decision and doesn't back down because it's not going to be popular on the left.
Among his peers.
Yeah. Yeah, Ray, this is a good move, like you said, for Facebook from a free speech standpoint, meaning both sides, no matter what opinion you have, you can post ads on Facebook. But also this is good from a business standpoint, from a money standpoint, for Facebook.
Yeah.
Because
right.
Now you have the Trump campaign with hundreds of millions in cash, along with every other conservative candidate across the country, all going to be pumping money into Facebook's ad system. So you're talking hundreds of millions in revenue.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And folks, folks who don't follow this, this is, by the way, we, American Family Association, as Sandy has said, because Sandy has represented us, we have been, you know, in a coalition of groups trying and have held meetings with Google and Facebook and other other social media giants to plead our case, so with Facebook, let me just tell you how significant this is, and why people may say, why are you talking about this? Well, the Silicon Valley in California, which is where the giant tech companies are located and the social media giants and other places, but that's when they say Silicon Valley, that's what they're referring to. It's kind of like referring to New York Wall Street in terms of the financial markets. So the people Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook run with, they're all liberals, okay?
Right.
They're all, quote, progressives. And, I mean, all of them. You might find an occasional Vince Vaughn, but, that, you know, like they do in Hollywood, but it'd be a rarity. So this is groupthink. They all hate conservatives and Christians and Donald Trump. Maybe not all of them hate, but they certainly think of us as fools and buffoons and backwards, okay? Well, Donald Trump's the leader of that basket of deplorables. So what these people say is Donald Trump lies all the time. Now, I don't believe that he lies all the time, but they say he lies all the time. So they say to Facebook, these progressives, you need to shut down Donald Trump being able to advertise on Facebook because you need to police his lies, okay? So what Facebook has said, and I hadn't thought about this, Walker, and I should have, what you just mentioned, it certainly could be motivated by the money that is Facebook, which it's okay too.
Sure.
It's okay too. But I like to think Zuckerberg too cared about fairness.
Yeah.
Because we, in politics, every candidate on every side said the other guy's lying every day. Am I right about that?
Yeah,
sure.
So and so oftentimes with politics, I will admit, on both sides, they present facts without presenting the whole story. Or they it's presenting your candidate in the best possible light while presenting your other as opposition in the worst. That's politics in America. So I think what Zuckerberg has said, I'm not going to police all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the liberals are upset because they hoped that Trump would be shut down from Facebook, giving the Democrats another huge advantage in the fall election. They already have an enormous advantage, do the Democrats, with the news media, all right? Because they're almost, they're universally against President Trump.
Yes.
With rare exception. So they got that in their favor. They've got, Hollywood money. They've got people like Bloomberg's money. And they just don't have a candidate. That's their problem. They don't have a candidate. But I'm just saying there's a lot of things stacked against the president, again, like they were in 2016 when he pulled off the shock of when he shocked the world, President Trump, by winning that year. This year, he's got a lot going for him. He's got a record going for him economically, and he's got a lot of people with him on his desire to protect the country and control the illegal immigration. So I think and reshape the courts for more conservative federal judges. So, I mean, he's doing a lot. That is the president. He has a record to attract people to vote for him. So we'll see what happens. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, before we go, promote onenewsnow.com because we're going into an election year. People need to get accurate news.
Yes.
You and your team work hard every day to that end. Tell our listeners about your team.
Absolutely. It's one of those places, folks, that you can still trust to get the whole news. And we will present both sides. We'll tell you what Nancy Pelosi is saying. But our difference is we'll have people on there that point out, no, Nancy Pelosi isn't telling the truth. And so you're going to get the latest in national news. This is a critical election year. So you're going to hear the truth about these things. And One News Now is a great place to go. You can go directly to the website. But we also have a daily emailing. You can go over to the right-hand side, onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. Go up to the right-hand side, and you can sign up for a daily briefing. It'll come in your email once a day, and you'll get the latest stories, the latest perspective on what's going on politically across the country and other news of the day. So you get your fill right there. You'll get it about 2 or 3 o'clock Central Time in the afternoon, and you will be educated, really, about what's going on in our country. You'll get the knowledge that you need to make a decision this fall with regards to our election.
All right, Fred, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We will take a break now, and Steve Jardahl will be with us in 5 minutes. Walker, Ray, and yours truly, Tim, we shall return, and we hope you will be with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.